You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Fuck off, I'm not going to update this either, shit.
By Winamp.
No. I'm just testing levels, making sure we're all okay. Because we got to start the show first, then we'll... You know what, never mind, everybody knows how this works. Why? Hi. Hello. Welcome to another episode of the Toil of Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, I've got 365 Days of Horror. Say hi.
Hi, everyone. We're going to have a great show today. Yay!
And Brenna side.
Ditto. Joe, you're your usual sunshiny self today, huh?
Everything is pain. Everything hurts and will always hurt until we meet our inevitable oblivion. But we're going to have some fun on this show. It's going to be a good hour for everybody.
I just hear the nose-diving plane sound every time you speak.
Pain is only temporary, man. Use it as fuel for your journey.
How have you guys been? What's been the haps around your communities?
So I went to... there's like an antique show in this little town in Massachusetts called Brimfield, where they have just countless tents of people selling totally useless trash for way too much money. So my wife and I walked all over Tarnation trying to find something maybe worth buying, and you know, it's like, oh, that's a really cool piece of junk. How much? Oh, $650, because it's a fucking antique. It's like you found this in some dead old lady's basement just rotting away, and you probably paid a dollar for it, you piece of shit.
Do we want to do a quick segment on Joe's Thrifty Corner?
No, that's okay. Do you have a Thrifty Corner, Joe?
Yeah, the secret here is if you got your eye on something like this, you wait until the last day of an event and like the last hour of it when these old people are looking at the shit and thinking about how much they don't want to put it on a trailer and bring it back to wherever it needs to go. They'll take whatever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the way to go. But it's like you look at things and I'm like, okay, so... you're selling this for $1,000. How about this? Knock it down to $400, and then I'll give you $20 for it.
It's a compelling offer. Did you try it?
I mean, maybe a little here and there, but most people weren't really willing to budge much, and it was just like I didn't come home with anything.
It's a lost art, the ability to wheel and deal to get a bargain.
They're all fucking hoarders anyway. They're probably more than happy to put it right back in their basements. It's like, how else would they get all this shit?
Yeah, no, that's fun. Old people love to do that. They love to fill their houses with things that will become a huge burden for their children.
Yeah, I feel like that's my life. I feel like that's anything with my, you know, with my parents. I can't wait to just like back up the dumpster into the driveway at their very end of life to see all the things just
and then
throw
just throw
it away
them
and
into
smash.
The dumpster.
Yeah. All right, Ma, we're wheeling you in. Let's go.
What have you been up to, Jordan?
I went to down the street from me, there's a Greek Orthodox church, and a couple times a year they have their like little food festival. So I just go down and get some good quality food made by grandmas who have been doing this for like 60 or 70 years.
You get some baklava?
I got some lamb. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty good. Across the street from the church is actually like a huge Trump supporter. Like signs in the yard, custom made stuff, and I always kind of gird myself when I'm walking by, like just in case someone's gonna harass me. But he wasn't around this time. Instead, there were people trying to tell me about Jesus, which I thought was such a dick move to do across the street from a church. It's like, aren't you on the same team?
Are they?
in the overall Jesus-iness of it, I mean, they both pray to the same God, don't they?
I don't know. I'm taking a philosophy class this semester, and that was a discussion. I still don't get it. I'm gonna fail this class.
I think with Orthodox churches, they can eat meat at inappropriate times because I don't know, it's more fun that way. And I feel like some of the other flavors of Christianity aren't so cool with that.
It's like there's an old Emo Phillips comedy bit. It's actually really funny. People should look it up. It's someone's going to like jump off a bridge and he's talking them down and they're like, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, too.
He said, I used to believe in God. I said, that's good. Were you a Christian or a Jew? He said, a Christian. I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant. I said, me too. What franchise? He says, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He says, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He says, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist or Northern Conservative Reform Baptist? He says, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist, Great Lakes Region. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Eastern Region. He says, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879. Or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. He says, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, die, heretic. And I pushed him away.
You guys, if you're worried about consuming meat at inappropriate times, just become some kind of flavor of evangelical. They don't give a shit about anything. There are no rules.
Yeah, that's become very apparent the past few years with the Trump presidency.
I mean, the downside is that you are in a literal death cult, but the upside is, yeah, you can fucking drink and eat whatever pork you like and, you know, just wrap yourself up in the flag while worshiping a statue of Tom Brady. It doesn't matter.
I think I'm going to vote for you for senator now.
Tom Brady is God.
The person that you worship, of course, you know, I guess varies from region to region. But if I had to guess, I would say that Tom Brady is one of the lesser deities of the evangelical faith.
Well, him and Baal.
Let's not forget Maloik.
Oh, Pazuzu.
Who is the one from Hereditary?
I've never seen Hereditary, so I don't know.
Never mind then. I finished my chicken coop, that's why I'm dead. And then I went to Party World Wrestling right afterwards, so heat and then alcohol and more heat, and yeah. Good times. We got chickens, though.
I heard this was the Ghost Mall themed one. I might watch the playback today.
You should watch our friend Rory Hot Dog, his match against Pasta Man. Pasta Man was exploring the ruins of a mall when he discovered manga and anime.
Oh no.
So he develops his some insane theories around anime and pasta and how they work together. He put together a PowerPoint presentation before the match. It was very good.
I noticed with the last couple shows they weren't, because I think the very first one that I saw was Baja Blast, which was just immense. They did so much shit with that, and I think the following two just weren't quite up to that standard. I don't know if it's a lack of donations or otherwise, but I don't know. Did they put on a big production this show?
So there were three sets of matches, and I only watched one set of matches. I guess it was four in that set. What I saw was incredible. Very, very good stuff. And I appreciated that the volunteer design team that painstakingly puts up a new set every 3 months. They made fake signs for all the stores in the mall, but they were, you know, slightly different, like Auntie Anne's, Pret's Hells, Dullard's, you know, Forever 69, and then just with no change at all, Hot Topic.
Oh man. All right. Well, yeah, I will definitely watch it. And anyone listening, I definitely recommend Party World Wrestling. That's wrestling, PWR. So yeah. They do awesome stuff.
Great stuff. Again, this is a standing offer. If you're ever in Austin while this is going on, let me know. I will go with you and we will have a good time. And then I'll be miserable the next day. So I have a question for you guys. Who the fuck is Jeremy Renner?
From Avengers.
Okay. I haven't seen any of the Avengers. I haven't seen an Avenger.
Yeah.
Is he an old
one? He's the funny looking one that shoots arrows.
That's what I thought.
Has no power.
Green Arrow?
Yeah, kind of.
Didn't they make like a Jason Bourne movie with him?
Possibly. I haven't seen any of those either.
Wasn't really Jason Bourne after he became so popular from, you know, shooting the arrows next to real superheroes.
So he's an Avenger, but like a minor one. One that nobody really gives a shit about, right?
They didn't even give him a cool mask. Or nothing. He's just like, we got a literal god, a multi-billionaire who can build a robot suit, and then you have a mutant super soldier, and then you got fucking Deer Hunter over here with his boing boing arrows.
His power is playing Russian roulette.
My power is archery.
So he doesn't have a mask, because if I recall correctly from the 90s comic books, he has a big purple mask in those.
No. Nope, it's just Jeremy Renner's handsome face.
So I learned this week that he has a it was shut down after he was getting trolled relentlessly on it. He has his own app, the Jeremy Renner app, because it's been filling up my Twitter feed for the last couple of weeks, and this is strange to me. But I learned that through this app, when it loads, it would play a clip of him covering House of the Rising Sun, apparently as a teaser for his upcoming album. Because in addition to being the arrow shooty man, he's also a musician, or at least a aspiring one, because he's now 48 years old and looking to put out his debut album.
Is the time for Jeremy Renner to rise to his feet.
So I figured that kind of actually... I laughed at this for a little bit, and then I thought about it for a half second, and all of the names started flooding to mind of other famous celebrity actor types that decided to start a band. And I figured that this episode we would dig into those details and maybe finally get to know what some of these things sound like. How does that sound to you?
Oh. Why are we listening to bad stuff so much lately on purpose?
Well, because people like it. These are our most popular episodes. Our listeners are little pain piggies. They love to suffer with us.
Little BDSM going on in the comment section that I wasn't aware of.
Something like that.
That's an expensive hobby.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, you got to go on Etsy and you got to look up, the pain chains and gimp masks and the cat of nine tails and everything else. That shit adds up, man. A lot of spending.
I got to figure there's a DIY solution for all of these things. You know?
lots of duct tape.
Going broke buying fuck swings.
You just, like, tie your fuck swing to the park bench because you're homeless.
Again, like... You never want to pay retail for a fuck swing, you know.
You got to talk to the grandmas at the antique shows and see if you can knock them down a couple $100.
Slightly used fuck swing.
Sunday mornings going to church just riding the fuck swing.
It's honestly like Hemingway, short story, lightly used fuck swing, must sell.
The old man in the fuck swing.
Don't be afraid of buying secondhand. You can use bleach, it's fine. Or you can construct your own. I'm sure that HGTV has, you know, a show dedicated to this very cause.
A wicker fuck swing.
Don't use bleach on your black fuck swing. Just a little Febreze and you'll be fine.
That's probably true. That's probably true. Boy, I really lost my train of thought here. What were we talking about?
Jeremy Renner fuck swing.
So Jeremy Renner.
Better be the name of the episode.
I feel like every time I put a title like that up there, it dings us with whatever app stores or podcast stores. But we'll do it anyway, because, again, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. Do we want to listen to a bit of Jeremy Renner? Do we want to hear what it sounds like when you load his, or when you used to load his app?
Why does he have an app? Like, I mean, not why, but like, what does the app do?
I'm glad you asked. The app, it's single purpose. It's like social media. You know how on social media you have pictures and updates from all of your friends or people that you like and want to follow?
Is it just Jeremy Renner related updates?
Just Jeremy. And it's even less than that. Like, it's, he has an Instagram, so like it just feeds his Instagram posts into this dedicated app.
Just got a fuck swing smiley face peace sign.
And the best part about this is that it's a monetized app, so you can purchase like stars and comments so that Jeremy might see your post like in reply to his selfie.
It's pretty vile.
It's pretty fucking vile, but some trolls figured out a couple of exploits, so it's done now.
How secure could the app of one man be?
It was a pretty professionally done thing, I guess. And I learned through this that other people have, other celebrities have dedicated apps as well that do the same thing. So if you're, I can't imagine downloading a dedicated app for one celebrity, and I immediately take that back because I would if Danny DeVito did it.
A Nick Cage one would do really well.
Oh, Danny DeVito, come on the show, talk about your new app. We'll be the main PR behind it.
Nick Cage always needs dough, and he has a huge fan base. I think this would be perfect for him.
Yeah. Oh boy. So do we have to listen to Jeremy Renner?
Yeah, here's his cover of The House of the Rising Sun. I'm trying to think about it. House of the Rising Sun was released in what, 1964. And I imagine that when people first heard that, they were like, damn, this is hard as hell. And then it's been 55 years since then, and it is no longer hard as hell, and it's kind of a I don't want to hear the song ever again kind of thing.
And I think it's been covered by Five Finger Death Punch.
It has. It definitely has.
I heard the Jeremy Renner music, I think it was through a commercial on Hulu. I think it was a car commercial, actually. I think the concept was he's on tour in a bus, and the bus breaks down, and someone heading to the show in their new whatever Tercel picks him up and drives him to the show, and they're playing his music in the background.
Oh my god, you're Jeremy Renner, famous for your music alone
and your app.
Sup, I'm rock star Jeremy Renner.
Because I've never seen any of his movies, I guess I googled him, and I'm looking at his face, and like this, I could not pick this guy out of a lineup. He's just generic-looking 40s white dude.
He's so unspectacular in, like, look and stature. I mean, he's in good shape because they had to put him in a rubber muscle suit like they did everybody in those stupid, stupid, horrible Avengers movies. But, yeah, I mean, this could be any, like, ski club dad.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, like, I don't know. I don't know how good a shape he actually is, because from my understanding, the Avengers movies are like almost entirely CGI. So what's the point of even working out? I imagine Chris Hemsworth just has a huge fucking spare tire around his belly.
I thought you were going to say something else besides spare tire, but well.
What did you think? What did you think I was going to say?
Great, big, huge. Moving on. So, I don't know, man. Yeah, they were CGI for the most part, but you got to get, like, you know, a shot or two with maybe, like, Chris Evans with his shirt off, just being like, I'm Captain America. I don't know what's going on because I, you know, went in a coma in the 50s.
Seems like it'd be cheaper just to hire some beefcake body double and, like, CGI Chris Evans' head onto that guy.
They actually did that for before he became Captain America in the Captain America movie, when he was supposed to be, like, a skinny weakling. Mm-hmm. They put his head on an actual skinny person's body.
I'm a truther about this now. I think he's the skinny person, and there's just, like, some ripped boy model running around who's actually Captain America.
I love it. I think we can get QAnon on that one.
How do you pronounce it?
Is it Canon?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay, you laugh all you want. Pun-a-man-yom-ya.
No, it's fun to intentionally mispronounce things, but when we're talking about something as serious as QAnon, you have to give it the gravity it deserves.
Quanon.
Yeah, I love drinking tonic water. It gives me all the quinine I need. It's a malaria joke, folks. So thinking about Jeremy Renner and all of these complex feelings I have for the man that I had not thought about previously before, I guess, 2 days ago, I got on this train of thinking about celebrity bands. I guess the first thing that I thought about is why. Like, let's say that you're a rich and famous actor type. Why is it that what you really want to do is be a musician?
I don't know, man. I think music is this really interesting temptress when it comes to guys who want to be rich and cool. I think there's just some kind of edge to doing the rock and roll thing that maybe acting or performing stand-up or running a company doesn't quite do for you.
I think it's the live audience aspect of it. Like, you know, actors are just kind of in the studios doing their lines and then they go home, whereas you're up on stage and people are loving you in real time, and I think that kind of fills a void that a lot of celebrities don't get.
It's just like a bottomless pit for need for adoration from these people, right?
It's all they know.
I guess that makes sense as far as, like, movie actors going to Broadway and stuff. It's just like the active eyes on me.
I thought that that's what you did when you couldn't get a movie anymore.
No, man. It's when you're tired of doing movies and you got bigger and better things to do, because that is real acting.
Yeah, it's the most cringe-inducing thing to me. Like, movies are beat. I'm going to go where the action is. I'm going to do a play. I'm gonna go out there on a Broadway stage so that, like, 45 rich people can watch me, you know, just emote for 3 hours.
And for a lot of them, that's how they started. They started doing plays in high school or in college and then moved on to real acting.
Right, like, they watch those sort of things and they're just like, imagine if the high school drama club had this kind of budget. Awful. The acting would be equally stiff.
Out of all the different ways of making art, I gotta say the theater is probably the shittiest. What's your take? What's the worst one?
Metal music?
It's pretty bad, but it falls into the realm of at least music, which is not the worst art. The worst art is theater.
Jordan, what's your take? What's the worst art?
Performative tweets?
Is that art? Can we even call it art?
Sure.
I think that some people can elevate the tweet to an art form, like drill or something, but...
like myself, I do it every day.
Yeah, yeah. but for the most part, I think it's just endless subtweeting, which isn't like a... It's not like art, that's like just being bitchy.
I feel like every tweet is fueled by the hate of other tweets. Anyway, so I know Jeremy Renner is, of course, not the only guy we can think of who is an actor and has some fame and fortune for some completely different reason but decided to do music. We got any others we want to bring up?
Yeah, and this is a name that we've brought up, I'm going to say, at least 3 or 4 times throughout the run of this show. Because I can't imagine why it would come up in any other situation. I'm talking about Jada Pinkett Smith, y'all.
Wicked Wisdom. Woo.
Wicked Wisdom, which is spelled as it should be, which is, I feel like, a big miss.
Well, there was already a black metal band named Wicked Witch, and they spelled it with Y's, so maybe they didn't want to confuse people.
There should at least be a Z instead of an S in Wisdom.
Yeah, I'm saying W-I-Z-D-U-M, Wicked Wisdom.
Z-Z-Z, Z-Z-Z-Z, pronounced Wicked Wisdom.
Jordan, have you seen Wicked Wisdom?
I saw them live. It was the 1 year I went to Ozfest, and they were playing. And they played, like, really in the middle of everything, so it was a big audience for them. And they played only, like, 5 songs, and I kind of felt bad for them, so I was up close and kind of ironically started a pit. And Will Smith was there, and that was it.
I don't. I it sounds awkward and bad, but I don't know how much sympathy you should give for Jada Pinkett Smith, who is surely a billionaire by this point.
At this point, but this was in like 2005, and it was more of just a sideshow kind of thing. It's like, this is funny and weird. I'm going to have a laugh. And I think they pretty much broke up after that not too long. I think they put out one album, did that one tour. I think they might have been on like The Tonight Show or maybe Conan O'Brien and performed, and like that was it.
Yeah, I recall watching that. Let's go ahead and give a quick listen to Wicked Wisdom. Now, when we're talking about true metal, I think that you can't deny that this is a band.
There's drums. There's worse. Like, it's okay. Like, it's not offensively bad. It's just not something we would listen to. If it wasn't Jada Pinkett Smith, like, they wouldn't have got on Ozfest, but, like, I don't think people would be all that offended by them.
Yeah, I guess in terms of like what we will listen to on this show, this is not that bad. Jada Pinkett Smith, of course, most famous for being Will Smith's wife, but let's not forget that she also was in the very bad Matrix sequels.
She was also in the very, very bad Matrix video game.
Oh, fuck. Which very... there were 2 very bad Matrix video games.
She was the one that didn't have Keanu Reeves in it. There was her... And I don't know. There was like, you could also play this other agent who was like this Asian guy, not agent, but one of like, you know, the cool cyberpunk Matrix heroes. And yeah, you just did like bullet time and flips, and the controls were terrible, and the graphics were too.
Yeah, I remember plunking down $5 to rent Enter the Matrix, the video game, and.
That was the one.
That was it was a bad game. It was a very bad game. But it's okay, because we've got a new Matrix coming out soon. Like the Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions, I will see this on opening night at midnight, and I'm sure that it will totally redeem my experiences from those other two.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. She was also in The Nutty Professor, which, you know, props.
But speaking of The Matrix, Keanu Reeves also has a band.
So, Keanu Reeves, I think he's been famous since he was a teenager, you know. He had, of course, Wild Stallions, which everyone knows and loves. Oh, and apparently Bill and Ted 3, which has been rumored for 20 years, is going to come out. Have you heard this?
Are you going to go see it next year?
Yeah. Oh, I'm absolutely going to go see this. I think we've talked about this, but Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is probably one of the finest sequels ever made.
I do enjoy both movies very much, so I have guarded high hopes for this.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat. They actually went to hell in Bogus Journey.
Is the movie a failure if Station isn't in it?
Absolutely. I need Station.
I wonder if they'll go to The Matrix.
They might. But yeah, Keanu Reeves used to be kind of a punchline, then had a career I guess, a reassessment around when The Matrix came out, and he's just been fucking killing it ever since, man. So,
What's that movie with? Oh fuck, it's the one where he's like a cop chasing around like another ex cop. It's not Speed. It's the one where they have the fight while they jump out of a plane.
Oh, yeah.
Little Buddha.
Yeah, that was it. That's the one.
Yeah, no, it's... fuck, not Terminal Velocity.
High Velocity?
No. It's like something point.
He
like
plays Flash, Point Break.
Yeah, yeah.
Brody. yeah, great movie. The scene where he's in frustration, just emptying his pistol in the air. It's classic action movie fodder.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's kind of been killing it in his later years now. He's still an action hero with the John Wick movies, which are better than they should be. But in those early 90s days, he had a little band called Dogstar. Have you guys ever heard of this?
I remember the name. I don't know if I ever actually heard music.
I had never heard the music until this morning. And I will tell you this, I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't have high hopes for this, but it's very pleasant mid-90s kind of indie rock in the vein of, I don't know, something like Knapsack or something. It's not bad. I miss the town we had. I pushed it to.
There's going to be like a run on his music now that we're reminding people, since everyone loves everything he does now.
I think there should be, definitely. So they released an EP in 1996, Quattro Fromaggi, which means four cheeses, I think.
American cheese sticks, the little cheese that you get with crackers and that little red scoopy thing, and Cheese Whiz.
You're forgetting curds. Yeah, he also put out two full lengths with Our Little Visionary, and in 2000, their last one called Happy Ending. In 2004, though, the last motion from the band was they put out a song for a Mr. Big tribute album.
There are enough Mr. Big songs to necessitate a tribute album?
I can think of one, I guess.
The one.
Are there enough Mr. Big fans to even create a band that would tribute them?
They're huge
Mr.
in Japan.
Big shows up sometimes on like major European metal festivals, like high up on the list too.
Yeah, I think they have an album titled like Big in Japan or something as well. Like they are one of those bands that like people love them everywhere that's not here.
Ah, yes.
So yeah, Keanu Reeves, of course, the breakaway star from that band, but the drummer in the band was a guy named Robert Mailhouse. Mailhouse, no slouch himself, he appeared on an episode of Seinfeld and did a couple of episodes of Days of Our Lives. So, not quite getting multiple action movie trilogies based around you, but pretty good.
It's close. Just as respectable.
And then there were other guys in the band, but sadly they failed to make a career splash quite as big, which has to probably be a huge thorn in your side.
Well, you just wait by the phone hoping Keanu calls you for a quick tour.
Notable fun fact about Dogstar, this is before we move on to the next one, just because this one kind of blew my mind. Weezer's first gig was opening for Dogstar.
Huh. Oh no.
So?
That's a show that you show up late to, anyway.
Yeah, I only kind of walked in as Weezer was breaking down.
They had one good record.
Weezer?
Yeah.
Which one do you think that is?
The one that had My Name is Jonas on it. That's a killer song.
Yeah.
And also Surf Wax America. That's a good song, too. I'll stand by that. And then everything else, awful. Just dog shit.
Oh, man. Their only good song is Beverly Hills. That's where I want to be. It's the only good song.
I remember on, I guess it was my 18th birthday, some friends took me to a strip club. I walked in, that song was blaring, and I knew that I was in for a bad time.
Play the hash pipe song.
Do, 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 do. But we're not going to focus on Weezer. It's not that kind of show. I figure we should also talk about a guy who kind of came up in the same ranks as Keanu Reeves. And whereas Keanu Reeves is beloved, adored, everyone loves him, he's not a fucking walking joke of himself, we have this other guy who definitely is. Can you think about who I'm talking about? Big 90s guy that's still kicking. Give you a hint, he's probably wearing at least a few bracelets right now.
Steven Seagal.
We're going to get to him.
But am I wrong?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's just the thing.
This is one of those things where it's like in Jeopardy, they give you points later because the judges are like, yeah, that is the right answer too.
Yep. I'm talking about Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp. Have you heard of him?
Oh, my God. He's Marilyn Manson's friend, right?
Yeah, pretty much. He's that, you know, guy that likes to hit ladies, wear bracelets, buy expensive wine.
Still, it could be Steven Seagal you're talking about.
Again, true. Except I probably, you know what? We'll get to Steven Seagal. You got to hold your horses. We'll get to Steven Seagal. Johnny Depp, I think in addition to being famous for being the kid in 21 Jump Street, or his horrific portrayal as Whitey Bulger in awful movie Black Mass, he might be most famous for just looking like a dickhead, by which I mean to say he looks like an aging rock star, which is fitting because he's got a little band along with other aging rock stars, Alice Cooper and Joe Perry. I'm talking about Hollywood Vampires.
Oh, right.
I only know them because occasionally I'll see a billboard for them playing at like Mohegan Sun or Foxwoods Casino.
It's always a casino, isn't it?
Casinos are like the last bastion for washed up rock stars that are still touring.
It's true. We don't want to...
And Stained.
What's that?
And Stained.
And Stained. I occasionally, driving along I-35, will see billboards for acts coming to Windstar Casino in Oklahoma, just across the border. And you got folks like, wow, I did not know you were still alive.
Oh, sha-na-na, cool.
They're probably not still alive. It's probably more like a Lynyrd Skynyrd kind of situation where you have so many related people still playing in the band.
So, let's give a quick listen to Hollywood Vampires. I know who you are, but you don't know what I am. You never will because I'm not one of them. You see, your first mistake was a bad one to make. I ain't got a heart left to break. If any of this had been real, maybe now I'd be dead. Godzilla size, rage inside. So, Johnny Depp, this is not his only foray into music. I'm here to tell you, unfortunately, that there is more. He was a member of a group called P, that would be the letter P, that featured Gibby Haynes of the Butthole Surfers, Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols. So, just a whole lot of great dudes.
What a weird mixture.
Yeah. I've never heard P before. Do we want to give this a listen?
Yeah, let's do it. That sounds... Suddenly it appeared a week ago.
mosquito loogies had attracted worms, and all my horses sat in hell. What about the gate with cheese made of cloth men? What about the faces in the rain? What about the people on that train that night? What about this feeling I have made?
I mean, that's not too bad of a roster outside of Johnny Depp.
I mean, I've got opinions about Steve Jones, and I'm not a huge Red Hot Chili Peppers fan.
Yeah, but Flea as a bassist is like, come on. Guy's a lunatic.
Yeah, I mean, who else are you going to find to go bloop, 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 bloop?
I mean, everybody else, but, you know. he's worth mentioning.
He was in The Big Lebowski, which is, you know, I guess can acquit him of any crimes in Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Does it, though?
No, I... Catatonic Youths put out a video just of the times that Red Hot Chili Peppers said the word California in their lyrics.
So it was a 40-minute long video. Yeah.
So yeah, Johnny Depp sucks. No good. Very bad. Stop wearing so many bracelets. You're a 56-year-old man.
It's like he was just this sunken-eyed, puffy-faced, like, dirty-toothed addict dressed as a pirate, and yet he ended up on the wall of every middle school girl's room anyway, right around the time we were that age.
Just screaming, plunder my treasure, Johnny. Yeah.
That's fucking nasty, dude.
Plunder my booty, you mean?
I'm trying to think, and I really can't come up with an answer for anything that he's done that I like.
Just he hasn't done anything. Yeah, I mean,
Edward Scissorhands.
No, wait. Yeah, fuck. Okay, that was, I guess, before Tim Burton jumped the shark. Yeah. Well, his first role in Nightmare on Elm Street was great because he just explodes into a torrent of blood.
Because he dies.
He should do that in that exact same way in every movie.
Agreed.
They should always work that into the script.
I'm just looking at his filmography right now. I'm like, I fucking hated that. Did you ever see the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie?
Well, no, because fucking Johnny Depp was in it.
Yeah, man. I love Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Gene Wilder, so good in that movie. And just, what a dog shit awful movie, man. Like, just leave that one alone. That did not need to be remade.
Because you got Johnny Depp with some pounds of Tim Burton makeup on his face playing another fucking one of that role.
Yeah, it's like Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka is so likable in the original, and just like I'm struggling to think of a more like off-putting person with a, like just a total void of charm.
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein in the Chocolate Factory. I would probably watch that one.
As long as he explodes in a torrent of blood at the end.
Yes, exactly. I'm just looking at this late career run of Johnny Depp. Let's see, we've got Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, a bunch of Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Public Enemies, in which he played John Dillinger. Did you see that one?
I saw it in theaters by awful. Accident.
Yeah, it's awful.
Terrible.
Following it up with The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. Rango. Jack and Jill, The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, don't forget that one.
Famous bomb.
Two movies in the same year. Gotta give dap to them both. Black Mass that I mentioned earlier. Fucking truly horrible movie. And Mordecai. I don't know if you remember Mordecai, but there was a huge marketing blitz behind it. I think they were trying to make it a series, and that was a tremendous, tremendous failure.
I love when that happens to shitty movies. They're like, oh, this is part one, we're gonna do more, and then they do so terribly that it's never spoken of again.
So good.
Why haven't they figured out that this guy is fucking box office poison?
Why won't Tim Burton do a movie with anyone else? Like, get back
to his muse. No one else wants to work with him.
I don't get it, man. Maybe he has really good drugs.
That must be.
But yeah, bad, not good, awful. Moving on.
Speaking of awful and being in bands, Jared Leto.
Let's go ahead and get into this Leto thing, because if we're talking about people that also have incredibly questionable personal lives, Leto himself has been accused of sexual assault incredibly multiple times. What's going on with that guy?
You mean when he's not having damaged, artfully tattooed on his forehead to play the Joker for 5 minutes in one movie?
I love so much that they shot hours of footage with him and then just cut it down to just about nothing.
I hope that gets released one day.
I would pirate that. Just him acting all creepy, like somebody that thinks that crime is actually funny. Fucked up, man.
And they were going to make a Joker movie with him, and it was just so bad, they went, no, let's get the other guy.
Joaquin Phoenix, you mean?
Yes, the other guy.
A much better actor.
True. I still don't know if I'm going to go see or ever see that movie, but better than Jared Leto.
I won't pay for it, but this movie has riled up so many douchebags online that I am curious about it now.
I can't so many wait bad for, takes in all directions.
Yeah. I can't wait for all the image macros that are just going to flow online of every cringy, edgy quote this fucking nerd says on screen.
So, unlike every other person that we've talked about here, people have probably heard of Jared Leto's band. At least, you know, you've been in CBS and it started playing and you were like, ah, fuck.
30 Seconds to Mars are certifiably a successful band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? I don't know. But they
it's
are.
It's catchy pop rock.
Yeah, they don't play metal, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, then why does Blabbermouth write about them?
Because Blabbermouth needs, some traffic from somewhere.
They came about in, they started in 1998 with Jared and his brother Shannon, and then they released their first album in 2002, and I remember that making some noise at the time. Apparently it sold 2 million records, which is that's pretty wild, man.
I do remember when that album came out. I remember Best Buy selling it for like $5, which was a big deal at the time because CDs were still being sold for like $17.99 at those places. So I think that helped sales a little bit. And I remember they also played on Warped Tour. Like, not main stage, like one of the side stages.
That's wild to me. But yeah, they play shows and people go see them, which is something.
and now they have a cult.
What's the deal with this cult thing?
I mean, there's just pictures circulating online where you got Jared Leto there in a fancy white flowy dress. And then all his fans and white garb just surrounding him, just mesmerized by the things he says. It's very Jesus and the Apostles.
That doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound like a great thing to be happening. Is it just that they're big fans of the music, or do you think that maybe there's just a cult of personality around the guy that you saw in the TV box?
I wonder if it could be both.
Because it's just weird to me to imagine somebody that would describe 30 Seconds to Mars as their favorite band.
Oddly enough, I think they're my sister-in-law's favorite band, if not one of her favorite bands.
Let's get her on the show.
No, let's not do that.
Leto has done movies I would describe as pretty good, though he's just been kind of in them. He's not like the reason that you watch the movie.
Yeah, he's not the headlining act.
Yeah, he was Paul Allen in American Psycho, and I guess the joke is that he was so forgettable that nobody realized what he looked like.
He was Blondie in Fight Club.
Yeah, he got beaten up in a scene, and that was it.
You're too fucking blonde. And he was in My So-Called Life and a bunch of other things. I think he gained like whatever 100 pounds to be in that movie about John Lennon being killed.
Really?
That no one saw.
Yeah, I did. I've never saw that movie.
Like, he just ate like spoonfuls of mayonnaise and ice cream and got fat for a role for a movie no one cared about, and then he lost all the weight again. Isn't it nice to be rich and have lots of time to do that?
I think the Hollywood secret, at least according to George Clooney, when he gained a bunch of weight for that one role, is just like Ben and Jerry's, man. Just one carton after the other. That's the way to get fat quick. And that's also the Breno method as well. It works really well for me, too.
When I need to take advice about radical weight change, I'm going to listen to Mac from Always Sunny. Because I think the funniest bit in television history might be just him getting super fat for no reason other than he thought it would be funny. Bags of chimichangas. And I don't know if you've seen the most recent season, but good Lord, is that man cut up again. He's cut up like a Greek god.
It's just those dudes, man. They love to lift.
But yeah, he was at least like forthcoming about like how much his schedule sucks for doing all this, and like how you literally cannot do it unless this is a full-time job and you get paid to do it. So anybody out there that wants to get swole like Mac, it's not going to happen, unfortunately.
Be rich and have lots of time.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe take some human growth hormone.
Hell yeah. Where can we get some of that?
Sylvester Stallone?
It's around.
How is Sylvester Stallone not dead?
HGH.
I mean, I figure that this has got to be doing damage to his heart, man.
Maybe it's like calcified from all the HGH and he cannot be killed by regular methods.
But this is a good transition point. Another 80s action star whose initials begin with SS. Can we get into it?
Ceddie Smurphy? Spruce Willis?
A brief aside on Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis also put out an album.
So did Eddie Murphy.
Russell Crowe.
Everybody knows Eddie Murphy's big hit, Party All the Time. Not bad. Not a bad song. Bruce Willis did not have quite as much luck when he put out The Return of Bruno.
Yeah, I do. What? I don't even know how to describe that type of, like, white boy blues.
Yes, that's
rock.
Exactly what it is.
White boy blues. White boy blues describes a lot of things.
Just completely toothless.
The best part about The Return of Bruno is, number one, who is Bruno? Number two.
It was his alter ego, like, wasn't Mariah Carey Mimi?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's like a Sasha Fierce situation.
Yeah. The Return of Bruno, the album, his backing musicians included Booker T. Jones, the Pointer Sisters, and the Temptations.
Jeez.
And what did he get for it?
He was in Hudson Hawk?
He was in Hudson Hawk. Need more musical crime capers.
And a terrible, terrible Death Wish remake.
I still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but I'm sure it's terrible.
It's in my queue, and it's like, this is for one of those days when nobody else is around, and I just want to, like, hate myself.
That's every day for me.
Yeah, pretty much. People Magazine gave The Return of Bruno a B+, calling Willis's cover of Under the Boardwalk surprisingly okay. But where I was getting with this, another 80s action hero with the initials SS, which I guess is inaccurate because I think this guy had his heyday really in the early 90s rather than the 80s.
Yeah, I think so.
He got a late start though, so that's why he's old. His first film was when he was in his late 30s. I'm talking about Steven Seagal. Now, we've mentioned this fellow before on the show, but mostly in connection with his now-defunct energy drink that I'm still trying to get my hands on. If anybody has some, let me know. My DMs are open.
Isn't one of the flavors like Asian Zing or something?
Yes,
like that?
It is. Made with cordyceps. Steven Seagal, when he's not a grandmaster of martial arts, which he definitely is, or palling around with incredibly authoritarian governments in Eastern Europe, He likes to honk on Bobo a bit.
Ooh.
He is a little blues boy.
He put out a landmark record in 2005. This is his first record. It was called Songs from the Crystal Cave. And it was notable in that it was really a boulevardise of world musics tied together. And I want to play you a bit of this, my favorite bit about it. It's a little track called Me Want Punani.
Me want the body if you make me feel nice. Why? Tell me what you really want all night.
Me want the punani if you make me nice.
Me want the body and want the punani. I mean the way nice. So
when the girls start to strut, you can look at their butt, you shouldn't do that. The girl dress is just a pity, not just there to cover her kitty.
Me want punani.
Yep.
I don't know if that's grammatically correct.
Well, it's, you know, taking taking some inspiration from both reggae and other I don't know, other, I guess, nebulous styles of music, and it results in something that is very dipping, singularly offensive.
Dipping into some cultures a bit outside his own.
He would never do that. Steven Seagal would never play an Asian man or a Mexican man or a Native American man. Or in the case of the movies he did with DMX, a guy who talks like he's black for some reason.
Love it. I'm sure DMX loved it too.
DMX did okay with those movies, I think.
The best actor in them, go figure.
You know, the Glimmer Man, it was a thing. What do you think about all this, Jordan?
About, you know, for someone who's such a scumbag and has had also credible accusations against him, and for just putting out some of the worst movies in the past 15 years, check them out on Netflix, they're all there. The music is not as bad as I thought it would be. Surprisingly not the worst.
It's not, I guess, the worst thing I've ever heard, but it is in very bad. It is very bad.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't want to listen to it, but I was expecting worse.
Yeah. In addition to all that, Steven Seagal likes to, I guess, split his time between the Ukraine and killing dogs in Louisiana with the cops, so... Cool dude.
Being a mouthpiece for Vladimir Putin.
Pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff.
He was good in Machete, though.
I don't even remember his bit in Machete.
He's the main bad guy.
Really?
And his job is pretty much to talk to the screen and look kind of chubby. And he's very good at that.
I don't remember his bit. What do you mean, the antagonist of the film?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the movie at the theater. I don't remember a bit about it, apparently.
Gotta rewatch. And he dies in it, so that's good.
That is good.
Well, way to give it away.
I guess we might have... when did Machete come out? In like 2007?
Somewhere around there. There was Machete, then there was Machete Kills with Mel Gibson as the antagonist. And I think they wanted to do Machete Kills again, but I don't know.
How the fuck did this motherfucker put out six movies in 2016?
He's just so zen.
I guess so. it's tough for me to pick a single highlight from his career, but I really don't think I've liked any of these movies, man. Under Siege, I guess, is okay.
Under Siege is like a real movie, and Tommy Lee Jones is so over the top in it that it's entertaining.
But then you had Under Siege 2, Dark Territory.
Which is on a train.
That's a thing. You gotta find a different vehicle.
like Speed. They went from the bus to a cruise ship.
Exactly. With less than great results. Before we... I realize that we haven't got to as many side projects as I had hoped on this one, because there are quite a few. Just Off the top of my head, I mean, we've also got Marky Mark. He had his Funky Bunch.
And he was in a Black Label Society song and video.
That's true. We have Marilyn Manson, who was previously, of course, Paul from the Wonder Years.
What about Russell Crowe's band?
30-odd foot of grunt.
What is with these guys in 30s?
I don't know. Let's go ahead and listen to it, because I've never heard 30-odd foot of grunt, which I'm sure all the Australians listening are like, oh, it's a favorite band, mate.
It's not
I'm Australian sure they answer. Are. I'm sure they're just they're standing up from their chairs and shouting it from the roof.
Play that Russell Crowe band, mate. It's a wonder that I get that sleep when the woman I need is so far out of reach. When we touch and when we talk, I'll be out of state.
Put that koala down. Hey, Russell.
Stop breastfeeding that wallaby woman.
I've been in Australia. All serious. Fuck the Australians. We also have there was a Zooey Deschanel who had She and Him with I guess it was M Ward was the other guy.
Yeah, that was a thing for about 6 months.
Yeah, you could buy the copy at any Starbucks across the nation. Corey Hart, who had Sunglasses at Night, which is a killer track, don't give a fuck. And his co-conspirator, Corey Feldman. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Corey Feldman lost his mind and created a band, and I think had a like all-female backing band, who I think at least in some videos were like Angel Wings.
Yeah. And
like did concerts, but I think famously played after like a minor league baseball game.
Yeah, I was reading a thing about how Corey Feldman was trying to make his like, he had a party service where he would hire basically his angels, which were, you know, strippers that he would hire and have them walk around wearing angel garb to go to a party that he would also attend. And if you had Corey Feldman at a party, I guess you would have a lot of people showing up to your party. It seemed pretty fucked up and sad.
That's like the poor man's Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. That's bad. There are credible claims that Corey Feldman's current mental state is entirely related to abuse he suffered at the hands of Hollywood pedophiles back in the day, but we'll get to that on another episode.
Will we?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I hope not.
Leave that one alone, maybe.
You briefly mentioned one in our chat that I said doesn't really count because the guy was a drummer, but let's go ahead and get into it briefly anyway.
Well, I like how you try to shift that off on me, because there's actually two people that we're thinking of. One is Frankie Muniz, that
no,
you brought up.
We're going to close the show with old Frankie.
Jason Schwartzman, who is in Phantom Planet. Bruno, can you give us a little Phantom Planet?
No.
Please?
What's Phantom Planet?
You know what it is. You saw the OC.
We have no idea what you guys are talking about.
The theme song to the OC, done by Phantom Planet, behind the drum kit was Jason Schwartzman, who you might know from Rushmore or some
Being
other
funny West, looking.
Yeah, some other Wes Anderson movie. That's all I got. California.
The only song I remember from the OC is the only song that matters, which is What You Say.
Was that
that you only meant well? I think the whole shooting meme was from an episode of the OC.
Shit, really?
Yeah.
I guess I didn't finish the series. I gotta go rewatch.
You don't have to, really. It's fine.
But yeah, I figured we're already at time. Let's go ahead and do this. I got a big surprise the other day when I was looking for celebrity bands, and I found that Frankie Muniz, everyone's favorite Malcolm in the Middle, after he retired from acting, briefly had a band called Kingsfoil. And I'd just like to, I guess, to close the show with this one.
Excellent. Let's do it. And guys, remember, if you have some talent or use for society that you start to gain some sort of clout from it, it's not an excuse to suddenly live out your actual dreams of being a rock star. Literally ever. Don't do it.
I think that we've shown from this that none of these have been a good idea, except for, I guess, in the case of Jared Leto, but it seemed like he had some, I don't know. He has some dark synergy forces working around him.
Right. And if you make popular music that's very, very bad, is it really still a good idea? Just because it makes lots of money?
we'll marinate on that one. Is it worth it to have millions of dollars and adoring fans that will do literally anything you say?
Just to make bad music? I don't know, man. You ask most metalheads, it's probably not the case, right?
Yeah, it's probably fine. It's better to, you know, work the second shift at Carl's Jr. so that you can focus on your gore grind career.
If that's not the closer, I don't know what is. You all need to keep it metal, bros.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Well, we tried. I ain't just fun, baby, but trust me, I'm fun. Lately I've been drinking too much, and maybe just enough now to get lazy. Yeah, you listen well, but only when I talk, I talk of yourself. I like the sound your voice takes. Apparently so do you, so I have a choice to make. You say let's have enough now, but I've had enough, I'm getting out.
You're listening to 66.6 FM Radio TOVH, The Flush.